Thank you for giving me a piece of your time this afternoon. I'm Shanat Gupta from Foundstone Professional Services, and I will be talking about the various attack vectors that can be used to bypass the sandboxing mechanism provided by the Citrix Presentation Server. How many of you guys are aware of the Citrix Presentation Server? Used it before? Okay, a decent number. All right, here's the agenda. It's pretty brief. I'll provide 1 minute overview of what the presentation server is intended to do, then talk about the common use case scenarios and the attack vectors associated with them. So this is how I truly view the sandboxing mechanisms of the Citrix presentation server. There are innumerable number of ways to bypass the sandboxing and invoke the underlying programs or executables or even get hold of the file system. So let's talk about what the presentation server is supposed to do. So in an ideal scenario, in the most common use case, what you have is an internal application or an application in your DMZ that you want to provide access to people who you don't really trust, so that they can be contractors, temporary workers, any consultants, and so on. So you export an application out through the Citrix presentation server. The users are supposed to authenticate and are only supposed to be able to access that application. But in reality, there are many different ways to get hold of the underlying operating system or underlying file system using various shortcuts and so on. Why is this important? Because if you think about it, the presentation server is running somewhere in your DMZ, and the people you provide access to, you don't really trust, and that's why you don't give out VPN access to them. So if they can get hold of the underlying operating system, that can get really, really scary. Let's look at the first common use case scenario. This is an IE running in a kiosk mode. So what you have is a web application that you want to provide, say, a user access to, so that he is only able to use that particular application and nothing else. So you won't really have the address bar, you won't have the full-fledged menu bar. You just have IE running, and the user is supposed to be able to use that web application only and is not supposed to be able to go anyplace else. But what you have is, this is underlying this kiosk is basically an browser, so it can be IE or Firefox, and all the typical shortcuts that otherwise work for a browser still hold good. So you can use one of these shortcuts and, again, just kill the IE or launch other executables on the underlying operating system. My favorite is Control-O, which is a shortcut for file open. When you press Control-O on this kiosk, whether the kiosk is, again, in a lobby or in a reception area, or whether it's through remote access, you're going to see this file open box. Here you can type the name of the URL that you want to visit to. When I'm doing a pen test or when I'm trying to compromise a Citrix server, I typically host my tools somewhere out on the internet that I can get to. So here I say the IP address of my FTP server. When I get there, I can click on the executable that I want. So typically I host a command shell. When I click on it, IE prompts me and says whether you want to save it or you want to run it. I say I want to run it. As soon as I run it, now I have a command shell on a presentation server that is residing in the DMZ. Now, if you talk to any of the ethical hackers, they will tell you that they have 100% success rate. Once they get hold inside the internal network, they will be able to compromise the domain and many of the servers inside the organization. So now you have the command shell access. You can open a backdoor. You can start pinging other systems. You can do a network scan, figure out what are the other systems available on the same network, and potentially cause privilege escalation on the system. But at least you know you have unrestricted access on that system. The other thing to try is, if you see on that same file open dialog box, there's a button called browse. If you hit the browse button, then you're going to get access to the file explorer. Once you get access to the file explorer, change the file type to all files here. And from there, you will be able to see what are the different executables, what are the different files available. You will also be able to see what are the different network shares that are mapped on the system and potentially, you know, get access to them. So you can click on any of these executables, right-click, say open, then you'll be able to execute those executables. So here I've highlighted explorer.exe. You probably want to just double-click it or right-click it and say open. it opens, you have access to, you know, the system partition and so on. In some cases, in some kiosk modes, you don't really have access to the keyboard. You only have access to the mouse. And this is, again, typical on airports and hotel lobbies and so on. What you can do is, if you can click on any image, right-click on the image and then say, I want to save image as. Once you say, I want to save the image, it will prompt you for a file save dialog box. On that, once again, you will be able to traverse the file system and potentially open any executable that you want, run anything that you like. So, and you don't even need the keyboard. The other thing that you can do is, if you want a full-fledged keyboard, then you can go to Windows System 32, launch osk.exe, and have access to a virtual keyboard, and from there you can type on. I mean, it'll be really difficult to type character by character using a mouse, but theoretically you can do it. The other common attack scenario is through file print. So, I mean, you won't really have the file option, but again, Control P works, and then you'll get this dialog box. Where do you want to print this particular web page? But what you want to do is check that option to say that I want to print to a file. And here, when you say that and say apply and print, you will get, again, a file save dialog box. Change the file type from PN to anything, to all files, and then from there you'll be able to launch any executable. So you're not really printing to a file. Essentially, you just want that file save dialog box every single time. There are many other options. You know, sometimes what happens is, if the left click or the right click is disabled, then you can use Shift F10 if you have access to the keyboard, and essentially that's going to get mapped to a right click, and you'll have the same kind of options available that I talked about previously. So this is the kiosk mode, which is applicable to a web application. So in some of the other cases, what happens is, you have a thick client or you have any other client running on the Citrix environment, there are certain hotkey mappings that happen from your system to the Citrix system. And administrators typically leave them mapped. These are, I call them hidden hotkeys, but they're not really hidden. If you read the 400, 500 page administrator guide, you'll know about all these hotkey mappings. But essentially, two of them are very, very interesting, because administrators typically don't disable them, because they need these mapping to manage the system themselves. Control F1 and Control F3 are very interesting. What happens is, if you press Control F1, the keyboard mapping goes to the Citrix server and it will launch the Windows Security Desktop for you. So when I press Control F1 on my system, I'm going to get this security window, and this is from the Citrix server. So you will see the name of the server as CTXS-CPS as the user that you logged in. The option that you want to click is Task Manager. Once you click on Task Manager, then you will see the Task Manager. You will be able to figure out what are the different processes, what are the different applications running. But what interests us is the option to run an executable. You can click File, Run. From there, you can provide Control Admin Tools. And here, once you type that in and you launch Control Admin Tools, then you're going to see Administrative Tools. Once you see the administrative tools, then you can pull up the services that are running on the system, and any internal pen would tell you that is the any internal pen tester would tell you that that's the place to get started, because now you have services that can be potentially running under domain users or user accounts. You figure that out, do privilege escalation on the local box, dump the LSA secrets, and you have owned the system and potentially the network at that point of time. The other attack scenario is a restricted desktop. Here what happens is, sometimes organizations do not want to provide a full-fledged remote desktop access to users, so they provide a restricted desktop. So when you click on the start button there, you're not going to see any options. All options that you're going to see is log off, and that's it. Everything else will be disabled. And typically they have an icon to navigate the user to the application that they should have access to. But at the same time, if you are able to create new files on the system, then you will be able to change the extension of the file, make it a batch file, make it a VBS file, or even create a shortcut. So you can just right-click or press Shift F10, and then you can get the option create new shortcut, make a shortcut to the system partition or any other network map drives, open them, navigate the file system. The other thing to do is write two lines of code. In invoke an ActiveX control. Most ActiveX controls are on the system by default. Invoke them, launch anything that you want. So in this two lines of code, I'm basically launching the device manager. So once I launch the device manager, I know what other hardware devices are connected, what is the driver version number. I can get a lot of information using this device manager. I don't really need any extra privileges to launch this. The next attack scenario is Microsoft Office. So here I'm just picking on Microsoft Office, but it can be any thick client application. What happens these days is it's not really a common case scenario, but what's happening is organizations do not want to install applications on every single contractor's system. So essentially they install it out on a server and then stream the application remotely to the user. So you've probably heard of services like SaaS, which is a software as a service. Now, they don't install it on every system. They install the application somewhere remotely and then stream it using Citrix Presentation Server. So if you have access to, say, Microsoft applications, then the same attack scenarios work. You can still do file open, file save. You can pull up the help menu and jump from the help menu to the file system. Or you can write macros. So if you can write simple macros, again, you'll have access to the system. So what becomes important as we move forward, there's a lot of talk about SaaS, I was saying, and that's where you can launch, you can use the thick clients, you can use client applications and launch other applications using the client application that is being streamed remotely. And these are the things that we need to think about when we talk about cloud computing, when we talk about security as a service, which is offered, again, by Salesforce and so on. And more these kind of attacks will come to surface. When I was finding these vulnerabilities during Citrix assessments, I tried to figure out, okay, what is the best way to remediate these vulnerabilities? What are the things that a person can do to harden the system such that a user will not be able to launch any other executable on the underlying operating system? And I found it extremely hard. Essentially, what you have to do is open Group Policy Orchestrator, and there are 1,300 registry keys that you can muck with. Depending on the combination, you might be able to harden the system to the point that he will not be able to launch other executables. But I was not comfortable getting the system to the point that I can say, I can put my neck on the line and say, yes, I've hardened it to the point that I cannot launch anything else on the system. So this is how it looks. There are innumerable number of options. Most of the options hide the user. So in case you can say, you know, hide the run command from the user in the start menu. Similarly, you can hide the my computer option. But you can't, I mean, it's very difficult to completely disable it to the point that user cannot use alternative mechanisms to launch the same executable. There are also many commercial and freeware tools available, so there are a whole bunch that you can download, and a lot of them promise that they harden the system to the point that, you know, an attacker will not be able to launch other executables. I haven't had too much luck with them. If anyone has any insight, I would definitely be interested to know more. And that's it. Questions? Anyone has any questions? No? All right, thank you.